a podcast. And now, here's the guy who was so excited about the loved one's visit this week that he scheduled his very own. I am Rob Cestrino, and we are back here, voicemail edition, episode number 12 of Survivor, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And I'm very lucky to be joined back here on the podcast in an official capacity to talk about everything going on here in Survivor and the world. Please welcome the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cestrino. Nicole, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Yes, Nicole, you're ready. This is our loved one's visit.
We have one every day.
We have one every day. And of course, we have one every week for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. We have the patron 5 for 5 that you and I do every week. We recently did our 73rd episode of that podcast in the patron podcast feed. So I get to talk to you all the time on the podcast. The patrons get to hear from you all the time. But it has been quite some time since you and I have done a regular episode. And there's nothing regular ever when you're on the show of Rob Has a Podcast. That I believe we actually did the voicemails together in the second or third week. I think it might have been the second episode or the second week of Survivor Game Changer. So it was all the way back in March.
Yeah, it's been a while.
You and I did our preview, but I actually posted that in the Patreon podcast feed because we had everything going on with Big Brother, even though I made it available for everybody to listen to. And of course, you were on the Corinne podcast with us back in September. But for many people may be unfamiliar with what a podcaster you are.
Yes, I am Nicole Delma.
Nicole Delma, of course, Survivor Pearl Islands.
Yes.
Yeah. And you recently have been working very closely. You gave yourself a official title in the world of Rob as a Podcast.
I'd like to think I didn't give myself the title, but I earned it.
You earned it. Yes. So Nicole's actually been helping me with any of the customer service issues that come up with Patreon. So I really have appreciated the work you've been doing there. So thank you very much for that.
I like to call it patron relations.
Yes. Yes. Patron relations. So great job with that. But more recently, you have been really getting a lot of attention for your work on Instagram, Nicole.
I take it very seriously.
Yes. So what have you been up to?
Well, I'm really liking the Insta stories, and I'm pretty good with an elf.
Yeah, doing very good with the elf on the shelf.
Yes. I just basically like to amuse myself and put the elf in compromising positions for the children.
Not what it's intended for. That's not why they made it.
I think that is why they made
it. That's definitely not their intended use. So I am back from Austin. Did you miss me while I was away?
I did.
Yes.
I had to make my own coffee.
You had to make your own coffee. All right. Well, yeah, that would be a shame. Imagine if I was gone for 39 days.
No.
No, you couldn't imagine
no,
that.
No, no.
Why? It would be too long to go without making coffee?
I can't imagine having to make coffee for 39 straight days.
Yes, I mean, it'd be unbearable.
Yes. Okay. And you do make it very good.
Thank you very much. Well, I always am preparing for my next career when this podcast thing goes away, and then I am going to explore becoming a barista.
They have very good benefits.
I'll be making a unicorn frappuccino for anybody that comes in.
I bet you would make a good one.
Yes. And I guess similar like Survivor, you know, instead of like voting people out, I'll just be writing names on their coffee cups.
Would you purposely misspell the names?
No. Well, I don't know. I think that might have happened to me the other day. I was so confused. I was actually at the Dunkin' Donuts in the LAX, and I was, you know, I ordered my breakfast, and they were like bringing out stuff like for Ron. I'm like, am I Ron?
Do you know
am
that
I Ron?
When I am sending a text and I'm talking about you in a text, it autocorrects to Ron.
Why? Who's Ron?
I don't know.
Do you type that a lot?
No, it goes to Ron. Yeah. And
well,
it causes confusion.
I was texting with Steven the other day, and he was trying to use the word it, and his autocorrect changed it to JT. And he was like, oh, I meant it. But I think that he just types the word JT so much that that's why his autocorrect on his phone thinks he's always talking about JT. All right. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to talking about Survivor, because even though we live together and talk, you know, semi-regularly.
Semi.
Yes. And you and I also do the Patreon Sweden podcast, we don't tend to talk a ton about Survivor, that there at different points during the season, you had been a week behind, you got all caught up to do this. So I'm excited to really get your takes on everything going on this season. Who knows where it's going to take us?
Yeah.
It's not like
it's always a wild ride.
It's always going to be a wild ride. So looking forward to all that. If you missed my conversation with T-Bird, I thought that was a lot of fun checking in with T-Bird. We got into some good stuff. Of course, also my interview with Lauren, my exit interview with Lauren is up on the website. Did you listen to that?
I didn't get a chance to listen to that one.
Yes. You had been listening to a lot of the previous podcasts, though.
I'm like kind of obsessed with Rob now.
Whoa. Well, I was talking to Nicole yesterday and she was like, what's wrong with your voice? Why do you sound different? I was talking to her on the phone. I said, but I don't sound different. You've just been listening to me on a podcast all the time and it doesn't sound the same when you talk to me on the phone.
Yeah, I don't like it. We should just always talk on a podcast.
So you would like to have our conversations. You want to like call into podcasts?
Is I just need better sound quality in our regular conversations.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. Anyway, so a lot of feedback questions to get to with you guys. Let me quickly thank one of our sponsors before we get into your feedback. And those are friends over at Pro Flowers. And I wanted to save this one until Nicole was here with me in the studio to talk about Pro Flowers, because Nicole and I have had many arguments about flowers. And before I was getting Nicole flowers from Pro Flowers, I was doing it wrong. True or false?
This is an absolute true story, and there is audio to back this fight up.
Yes. So this holiday season, you could be doing a lot better than just sending a card to somebody. A card is okay.
I hate cards.
It's not flowers. Nicole, I was able to get for you the Pro Flowers Candy Cane Roses, and you were able to check those out. What was your opinion of Candy Cane Roses?
I loved them. They were, I spent the whole weekend decorating the house for Christmas, and then I got these flowers, and they were perfect.
Candy cane roses, in addition, they also have the classic mini Christmas tree that comes with lights and ornaments. I didn't get you that one.
I've actually gotten that from my mom one year.
Yes, and she liked it.
She did, yeah.
All right, well, we've got a great offer for the listeners. 20% off any Pro Flowers bouquet or plant of $29 or more. Pro Flowers bouquets and plants are guaranteed to stay fresh, and you can control the delivery date. Would you agree? Pro Flowers, flowers have stayed fresh for a long time?
Yes, because I also bought a bouquet of...
You don't need to disparage another...
I'm just saying that the Pro Flowers have held up and they're older.
Pro Flowers gives you more bloom for your buck, even more liana for your buck. Big, beautiful flowers, more stems for your money, long lasting freshness. You say you really appreciate the long stem.
I do love a long stem.
So get 20% off all bouquets of $29 or more this holiday season. Go to proflowers.com. Use the promo code REALITYTV. That's two words, reality space TV at checkout. That's proflowers.com. Promo code REALITYTV. Nicole, so let's get into everything from this latest episode of the show. And a lot of people were very upset to see Lauren be the person to be voted out. Let me start off with a voicemail from Guillaume. Guillaume from Paris is very upset. It's been a while since we heard from Guillaume. Let's play his voicemail.
Hi, Rob. This is Guillaume from Paris, France. I don't know why I should keep watching this season, because Lauren is gone. My daughter.
Should Guillaume keep watching this season of Survivor, Nicole?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Still, he should keep watching it.
Yeah, we have to see what's going to happen now.
Even without...
Dora!
Yes, keep watching, Nicole. I have not talked to you really about this at all. So what was your opinion of Lauren this season? Did she really win your heart over?
I feel like I had like kind of like a love-hate relationship with Lauren for a bit. Like sometimes she would get on my nerves, but then she'd make me laugh, and then she'd get on my nerves, and then she'd make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sad to see her go.
You're sad to see her go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really was a fun person to have on the show this season. And, you know, it really sort of struck me that you were rewatching some of the episodes this afternoon and you had it on and actually the boys were starting to pay attention to it. I was getting a little excited about that.
Dominic was really into it.
And so that I was watching the immunity challenge from last week. Maybe it was the reward challenge where they had to like carry the blocks. And just seeing Lauren taking the blocks from the boat and just carrying them herself, where like, you know, Ryan and Dr. Mike, with all due respect, you know, really sort of like, you know,
no comparison.
Struggling. And then Lauren was just like carrying the blocks by herself. She
had body slamming them.
Yeah, she was just like using her, like the blunt force of her body to knock the blocks through, to knock out the puzzle pieces. She was just a very fun character to have on the show.
She was great casting.
Yeah. They really did a great job with her on this show that I think that we can go on. I think we should still keep watching it, but people at the live show were devastated, Nicole.
I could imagine. I could imagine. I know how the live shows get, and to see that live is had to be a good moment.
Now, Lauren famously really did not get along well with your winner pick this season, Nicole. We haven't really touched on that.
It's a sore spot.
Patrick Bolton.
Sore spot.
Yes.
Although, if you go back and you look at the video, I also said that Chrissy, it was between Sir Bolton.
Yes, Patrick Bolton.
Chrissy and Ben.
Chrissy, Ben, and Patrick Bolton. Mm-hmm. But something about Patrick Bolton was just like a big red flashing light.
Literally, a red flashing light.
To Patrick Bolton.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was wrong.
No regrets.
Tons.
Do you support Lauren Rimmer for All Stars, Nicole?
With Sunny So Funny.
Sunny So Funny. So you want her for a Blood versus Water season?
I feel like that wouldn't be bad, but you got to bring Lauren back.
You need Lauren to come back.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, she'd be, I think, safe for an All-Stars if she wants it. And I saw that Jeff even said that she was, you know, one of the real popular characters in one of the interviews that he did this season, where it's almost like you don't feel like anybody's going to come in and sort of like knock her out of that archetype where, you know, let's say, you know, you have somebody who is, you know, let's say hypothetically you're talking about Ryan. Well, there could very easily be another Ryan next season. You know, you have like that character. We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
Whereas Lauren, we don't get a lot of that.
Yes.
So she might be safe for the next time they end up doing the All Stars.
Has she told that crazy crab story on the show?
What was her crazy crab story?
How she likes to take the blood out of the crabs.
Yeah. I mean, that did not come up on the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she did talk about that in her preseason interviews.
Yeah.
So why do you feel like that's that crazy? I feel like that we sort of Googled that and that turned out to be a thing.
But it sounds crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't have Google on the island.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get some more information from her if we ever get a chance to talk to her after the show. She seems like she's kind of removed from everything. Like it's all sort of, I think that either she, I asked her, like, are you aware of like the support that you have online? She said Dr. Mike tells her about it. I think her sister goes online. I don't think that Lauren is, you know, too much on social media.
I feel like I like that about her because she's normal.
That's normal?
Well, I mean, it's not normal, but it should be normal.
Yes.
But it's not normal.
Yes. You like that she's not like trying to look up every single thing that gets said and respond to it.
I don't think she sets Google alerts to her name.
Probably not. Probably not. Okay. Let's talk about the vote from this week, because I have watched the episode a number of times now at this point, and I think there's some interesting stuff that we haven't talked through. Let's take a voicemail from our own Brent Wolgamott, and not just because he said that he would be very angry if I didn't play his voicemail on the show. I think it's a good question, so let's play Brent.
Hey Rob, this is Brent Wolgamott. So I just want your thoughts on one of the more overlooked aspects of this episode, which is the decision of Dr. Mike, Ryan, and Chrissy to all vote for Ben. Now I know in the end, Lauren went home, but not because of anything that those three decided. Basically, if Ryan, Chrissy, and Dr. Mike had had their way, Ben would have been gone and Lauren would have been left in the game. But along with Lauren comes Lauren's extra vote. And those two votes, along with Devin and Ashley, certainly would have been a majority in the tribe. Instead, as it stands right now with Lauren out of the game, Chrissy, Ryan, and Dr. Mike arguably have control of the game right now. didn't they just get lucky in spite of themselves here? Your thoughts.
Okay. Nicole.
This is all
did
you.
Did you follow all this?
This okay. is all you.
All right. Well, let me just talk you through
Please.
What Brent says, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about this. So Lauren had, in addition to the idol that she found in this episode, she had the advantage where she had an extra vote. So if it worked out where it was going to be the threesome of Chrissy and Ryan and Dr. Mike, had they stuck together, they would potentially be running headfirst into the threesome of Lauren and Devin and Ashley, and Lauren has the extra vote. So at the final six, Lauren could play her extra vote advantage, and they would have four against the three-person group of Ryan and Dr. Mike and Chrissy. So Brent is saying, did they just get lucky by the fact that Lauren got voted out? Because those three would have been picked off back to back to back coming up over the next couple of votes.
It does seem like there's a little bit of luck involved there, no?
Yes. Well, I think that we have gotten a little bit of an incomplete picture
right.
here in the episode. And, you know, one of the things that I went back and I watched this, and so there is a secret scene from last week's episode that comes at the start of the episode. And following that secret scene, it really makes it seem like where after Ben has the whole blow up with Chrissy, that he goes and joins Devin and Ashley and Lauren, and they're sitting there with Dr. Mike. And when Ben shows up, it's almost like he's the fifth wheel. It's yeah. almost like that Dr. Mike isn't necessarily on the outs with that group just because they voted out Joe. It seems like that Dr. Mike is more rolling with the punches, and it feels more like Ben is on the outs with that group. More so, like, not only are Chrissy and Ryan mad at him, it seems like that Ben is more on the outs than it seems in the actual episode at that point. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to be, you know, that straight of a shot. I think that Dr. Mike might have been feeling more like he was in the four as opposed to in a three with Ryan and Chrissy at that point in time. So I think that that was an interesting thing. But in terms of like actually figuring out the vote, to speak to Brent's point, I went back and I tried to rewatch what was going on at that tribal council, because uh-huh. there was all of this craziness going on. And so I've broken it down for you and for everybody, and we could sort of talk this through to try to figure it out. Okay.
The math confuses me.
Okay. Well, this isn't necessarily math. This is sort of like the Zapruder film of that tribal council.
Okay. Let's try to figure out
where it was going and who was voting for who and who changed whose mind.
Okay.
So the first thing that we end up seeing when all hell starts breaking loose is Ryan says to Mike, "We have to keep the vote, Lauren." So I believe Ryan and Chrissy, at the very least, came into this tribal council that they were voting for Lauren. Okay. So Ryan says, like, "We have to keep the vote, Lauren." Dr. Mike says to Ryan, "Okay, okay, okay." Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say, where's the impression?
So we see Mike whispering to Ryan again. We don't hear what they say. Devin walks over. Devin walks over and says to Mike, "Let's get rid of Ben. He's calling out everybody." So here comes Devin trying to turn the tide against Ben. And so then we see Chrissy with Ryan. Chrissy says to Ryan, "I'm still good with voting Lauren."
Mm-hmm.
Ryan says, "I am too." So Ryan and Chrissy still on the same
still
page.
Lauren.
Lauren, Lauren, Lauren. Devin says to Mike, "We don't need Chrissy or Ryan's vote. We have four. Let's just get it over with." So this speaks to what mm-hmm. I was talking about from the secret scene of
right.
that there may be a four, which was including Dr. Mike,
right.
where it's Lauren, Devin, Ashley, and Dr. Mike, which makes it even more confusing why Dr. Mike threw
Lauren.
The advantage. It sort of, to me, it sort of like makes more sense why Lauren gave Dr. Mike the advantage
right.
to say, or the half of the idol to say, hey, Dr. Mike, you're not on the bottom three. Trust me. Here's my advantage to hold. Stick with us. We're the new four. But Dr. Mike seems that to reject that and then ultimately is a little bit more of a free agent at this point, where Dr. Mike is not really buying what they're selling.
Right.
But eventually, he's going to change his mind. He is going to vote against Ben.
Right.
So we see Mike pull Chrissy aside, and he says, get rid of Ben, okay? That he's saying, come on, vote with us.
Uh-huh.
Let's get rid of Ben. Chrissy says, nope, nope, nope. So Chrissy says, let's turn the tables on this whole night, is what Chrissy is saying. And Ryan is still saying, I think we should vote Lauren. So Ryan and Chrissy still saying, let's vote Lauren. So Chrissy says to Mike, be brave. And she's standing with Mike and Ryan. So I believe there's some question about what did Chrissy mean when she said, be brave.
Uh-huh.
And I think that she's still saying, hey, let's vote against Lauren tonight. Let's I guess, put our faith in Ben and Dr. Mike. Come on, let's do this. We can vote out Lauren tonight. She won't play her extra vote. Let's be brave. Let's knock out Lauren. But then Jeff Probst talks to Ben about what's going on. You're following this? Is this making sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's making sense. But the whole like tribal council was so hard to follow.
This is why I'm doing this, you know, play by play of the
tribal council. It's giving me a little bit of anxiety.
Okay. So Jeff Probst says to Ben, what's going on here, Ben? And he says, well, they're trying to decide right now between me and Lauren. And Ben says, you know what I'm doing tonight? I'm voting out Lauren. And I think at this point, there is a time jump in the tribal council.
Yeah.
Because this is one of these things where when people are moving around at tribal council, this really helps us key in on how much that a certain amount of time has happened. There is a time jump because right before this, Chrissy is standing up. She's talking with Dr. Mike and Ryan, and they're off on the right side. When Ben says, hey, I'm going to know what I'm doing tonight. I'm voting for Lauren. Chrissy is back sitting in front of Ben at this point in time. So there has been, some time has elapsed now. And somehow during this time, I think that this is when the vote has now shifted to everybody voting out Ben. And I don't know if we got to see in the episode when that shift happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Chrissy said, hey, this is a live tribal council. And it's at this point, Devin is like, we should vote. We should vote.
Yeah, like, let's just do it.
Something I think happened that we didn't get to see at this tribal council that got everybody on the same page of we need to vote out Ben. And I don't know if it was necessarily like Ben sort of being super defensive
or an outburst.
He pissed everybody off.
Yeah.
And
which is possible.
Yes. Or Lauren made this great compelling case about what she was going to do, but everybody votes for Ben at that point. And for all we know, that Ben's plan going into this tribal council might be the same plan that Dr. Mike had a couple of episodes ago, where Ben might have just said something, you know, basically had a roast of everybody. Is like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, you're stupid, you're dumb.
But why would
annoying.
He do that?
Because he had the idol that nobody knew he had.
But then it still puts a target on him for next week.
So he might have felt like, okay, well, I know that the votes are coming my way and I'm going to get my money's worth here.
But it really wasn't. Like, the votes could have gone to Lauren. Like, Chrissy was pushing for Lauren.
I think he comes to a realization, I'm playing my idol no matter what. And so that he doesn't ultimately care. You see him, he doesn't stand up. He doesn't go and try to scramble. I think that he, earlier in the episode, he's like, hey, if I can get Chrissy and Mike to flip with me, I don't need to play my idol. I can keep it until 5. I think that very early on in that tribal council, he knows I'm playing my idol no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's ultimately how it goes.
Do you think this was all a good idea for him?
To what? To play his idol?
To cause this kind of chaos for himself.
I mean, ideally, getting everybody mad at him was not a good idea.
Right, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yes. But, you know, he has, I think he has struggled at times with sort of damage control in terms of keeping everybody happy and wanting to keep him around. I think that he has put himself into a great position where he's sort of the front runner without anybody sort of shielding him. He was able to get back under the radar when they made him the spy. But I don't think he has done a good job at points this season with handling the heat of being the front runner.
Right. And by doing this makes it worse for him.
And we saw, I think that the scene that best illustrates that this season is when we saw Chrissy come to him at one point and say, like, hey, look, everybody's mad at you. People are thinking that you're steamrolling everybody. It's like, no. People aren't saying that. You're saying that.
It's just
Ashley,
you.
Yeah. You're saying that. Ashley's saying that. So he hasn't done a great job with the social part of the game of just like winning people over and keeping them happy and, you know, not being paranoid. Like, he has good instincts that he's able to tell when people are coming for him. And, you know, he's been, you know, a super likable guy, but he's been under the political pressure of everybody gunning for him. He has shown some cracks underneath that sort of like mounting pressure of everybody in the game being upset with him.
I mean, this doesn't really do well for jury votes for him if he makes it to the end.
Well, I think you sort of have to balance that against the story of, you know, it's come up a lot about how he's somebody who, you know, is certainly a likable guy. Did he piss everybody off along the way? That's really what it's going to come down to. And who he's going to be sitting next to.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of different factors to weigh. So just to answer Brent's question, yeah, I think that it probably was a good thing ultimately for Chrissy and Ryan that Lauren went home. That was their original goal at that tribal council. I think it ends up being a good thing for Dr. Mike. And this is the confusing part about all of this. If Dr. Mike was working with Lauren on some level to end up burning her advantage and then wanting to keep her in the game, I'm struggling a little bit with what he was trying to do. Dr. Mike,
I think he just wanted to throw it in the fire. That was it. Like, that was his goal.
Yes. Well, he said that in the episode.
This is the real idol, and I wanted to do this for like 15 years.
Yeah. So he told you. He told you that. I'm wondering if Dr. Mike is feeling like, I can't win. I'm just going to have as much fun as I can.
Why not?
Yeah. But he could win.
Yeah.
Could win.
Now, back in your day of Survivor, would Probst allow this craziness to occur at Tribal Council? I feel like you guys would have gotten in so much trouble.
Yeah, I do think that there is a little bit more of a, okay, well, let's see where this goes. Let's let it play out. And I think that they have a little bit more of an idea of how specifically, like, you know, what's inbounds and what's, and now I think that they'll let you, you know, improv a little bit more, get up out of your seat, walk around and try out all sorts of different things. And if it doesn't work, they'll like, basically, if this was like an NFL game, they're going to like let like a lot of like pass interference go and let you play kind of loosey goosey, whereas maybe they would be a little more tight and throw a flag earlier and stop the play in the earlier seasons of the show. This is an email question that speaks to your point, Nicole.
I love when I make points.
From Derek, who says, why was Dr. Mike allowed to throw the shell / idol into the fire? We saw on Second Chances when Suri tried to use Sarah's advantage, but that wasn't allowed. Is it as simple as Lauren gave Dr. Mike the shell idol and Sarah let Suri hold her advantage? Thanks, Derek. Nicole, this is a question that I've heard a few times since the episode. Have you given this any thought?
No.
Okay. Well, just to refresh people's memory, that Suri had gotten a non-transferable advantage from Sarah Lucina to hold back in Survivor Game Changers. And I believe that that was that she got to cancel somebody's vote and then steal it. I believe that was these particular advantage that she had, the same one that Steven had back in Cambodia. And Suri wanted to steal Ty's vote and then, or she was going to steal Sarah's vote and use it against Ty, if I recall correctly. And so Suri stood up at a tribal council and tried to use Sarah Lucina's game advantage, which she had been holding. And then it turned out,
which was very clear that it was non-transferable.
Well, I mean, it was.
I mean, didn't they? like when she read it, that's what it said.
Yes, but it was like at the bottom of like very fine print. Uh-huh. And that's ultimately what was going on there. And we've long talked about, you know, the you're not allowed to damage somebody's property or steal an idol from somebody. But I do think in this case specifically that Lauren did give Dr. Mike the advantage and that he was able to do with it what he wants once Lauren officially gives it to him.
But did Jeff know that?
I mean, I don't think that he knew it, but I mean, Lauren what didn't stop and say like, hold on a second, I never gave that to him, that he took that off my person.
Well, she was probably like, no, he's not really going to do that. No, no, that would be crazy. Ah, he did it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, please tell me that was not the real yes. shell that you threw into the fire.
Yeah.
So I think the question that people have asked is what would have happened if Ceri, instead of trying to play Sarah's advantage, what if Ceri would have thrown Sarah's advantage into the fire? Now, mm-hmm. it was non-transferable, that she could not transfer the power to Ceri, but if Ceri was to, say, lose it, or, you know, even accidentally, I don't know what the rules are at that point. It's like that she couldn't have transferred it to her to use. But what happens if Ceri misplaces that advantage?
Right. It was like legally in her possession.
Yes. I mean, would production outfit her with a second advantage to, okay, she wasn't supposed to give it to Ceri in the first place? I don't think that they would do that. Mm-hmm. So if Ceri accidentally dropped Sarah's advantage into the fire, oops.
That seems like fair game.
I mean, I don't think that Sarah would get another advantage. Yeah. Ceri would get it out of the game, but I don't believe that she could use it for her own purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's something that somebody could use in the future. The, oops, I dropped it in the fire.
Oops, I did it again.
Oops, I'm sorry. I dropped your thing in the fire while you were letting me hold it.
Yeah, I think you just invented a gameplay.
While we're talking about the idol in the fire, here is a voicemail from Greg.
Hey, Rob, this is Greg. I wanted to call. Everyone's been saying, why didn't Lauren take the shell out of the fire? She could have played the idol. Everything would have been great. She would have been safe. Here's my question. Let's just say she goes to reach into the fire and can't reach the shell because she might get a severe burn from the fire. How long would production have allowed her to try to seep into the fire and grab the shell before they said no for safety reasons? Let me know. All right, love your show. All right, bye.
Okay, Nicole.
We're talking about $1 million okay. burn.
A medical professional is here with us in the studio, and we can answer Greg's question. So, hypothetically, let's say Lauren was allowed, because we talked about this in the notes, that like, what was it allowed? Was it not allowed? She did not even think to go into the fire and get it. How long would Survivor let Lauren risk life and limb, literally, to get the thing out of the fire?
That is a terrible, terrible idea. Like, she just would have went up in flames.
What? She's that flammable?
She's probably really dirty, and dirt really is combustible.
Dirt is combustible. Is this a scientific fact yes. that you're putting out there?
Yes.
Dirt is combustible. We can look this up.
Yes.
Are you making things up?
Slightly.
Yes. Okay.
No, it is a terrible idea. Like, she could have fallen in head first, like severe burns. Her clothes would have went up in flames. Like, this would have been really, really bad, and bad television.
Bad television, where
which Lauren, is the bottom line.
Lauren ends up setting herself on fire to get the idol out of the flames.
And she probably won't even get it.
She probably might not even get it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
her hair would have went up in fire.
Well, she has short hair.
Luckily.
Yeah. Okay. So
that smells so bad when hair is on
no,
fire.
No, that's not good. And you know, because you have burnt your hair many times.
Oh, yeah. Daily.
Okay. Let's take this email. This is from Amy from Virginia. I want to get your take on this, Nicole.
Hey, this is Amy from Virginia. When Mike threw the idol into the fire, he said that he'd always wanted to do that. It would have been much more badass if he just did it. Saying that ruined it for me and made it seem like the move was an imitation of past moves, even though it could have been a cool, authentic moment. Are these meta moments and callbacks by the contestants the downfall of Survivor?
Nicole, again, here's Mike.
This is the real idol, and I wanted to do this for like 15 years.
Okay. Did it ruin the moment for you that he said he wanted to do this for 15 years?
I feel like if he would have done it and then said it after, maybe a little different.
Okay, so you agree with Amy that you feel like it ruined the moment for you?
I feel like it's not as badass by saying it, doing it.
What I want to know is what happened 15 years ago that Mike has wanted to do for so bad? Because to my recollection, the only thing that fell into the fire 15 years ago on Survivor
was not an idol.
And it's a guy that we don't need to talk
and
about.
By any means.
Yeah. So I don't know necessarily what Mike saw 15 years ago on Survivor that made him say,
maybe that was
one day you'll see, I will get that thing in the fire and it will be great. It will be glorious. That's a weird moment to go back and look at now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you say, good.
Should they have stopped him?
Yeah. But anyway, that being said, Nicole, so you agree that you shouldn't talk about I think people are being too petty about this stuff to say that was all of a sudden not a great moment. I watched this show in a room with 300 people. Everybody was howling when that happened.
No, it was definitely great, but as a comedian, you say it after.
Okay. Yeah. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater, everybody. Okay. All right, Nicole. Let's talk about the loved ones visit because, of course, always a touching moment. You liked the loved ones visit?
I did.
The loved ones visit, you know, usually a crowd pleaser. This season's edition of the loved ones visit was a little bit polarizing. Let's go to Owen from Connecticut, who is not happy.
Hey, Rob. Owen from Connecticut here. All right, so that was a great episode. Tribal Council was crazy, but I still can't get over how stupid that challenge was. I had people watching with me who have never seen Survivor before. I hyped up the family visit. I hyped up the family challenge, and then they pull marbles out and draw them out of a freaking bag. You know how embarrassing that was for me? Honestly, I want an apology from not only CBS, but from Jeff Probst himself.
Nicole, is an apology due to Owen?
No.
No apology.
No apology necessary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should we work on the apology?
I suppose we can. Are you getting ready to type it?
Sure. I mean, I think that an apology that's a handwritten note was probably the better way to go. You know, once upon a time, I believe that you and I sent an apology note to Russell Hantz. I don't even remember what it was that you and I did that.
And you were writing it down.
Once upon a time. So, I mean,
I think you signed it.
But I don't think that's that Jeff Probst, you know, with all due respect, you know, he made a video for the know-it-alls, but I don't know if he's going to write a apology to Owen.
Do you think it was that bad?
Well, I don't think it was that bad, but let me apologize. I mean, it sounds like Owen had a lot of people over at his house, and this is, you know, he's very upset about this. So I guess we'll start. Dear Owen, first off, thank you for writing in. And it's a voicemail.
He's really writing this down.
For calling in.
Yeah. Get it right.
To RHAP. I'm sorry.
Can you write a little faster? We're on the clock
that
here.
The loved ones challenge did not live up to your expectations.
Sad face.
Sad emoji. At least it was an exciting tribal council.
And everyone loves marbles.
Stephen Fishback was also upset and said it was the worst challenge that he ever saw, and he even hit another team's target with a slingshot in another challenge. On behalf of Survivor. I am deeply sorry for you and your friends who sat through that challenge. Sincerely.
Cry face emoji.
Cry face emoji. Robert.
K.
K. Sesternino. P.S.
The first.
What should I say, P.S.?
P.S. It's not that serious.
Oh, well, that's going to ruin the whole letter.
P.S. I love
P.S.
you.
P.S.
B-F-F-X-O-X-O.
I will include a promo code for $1 off the Evolution of Strategy.
Volume 1.
For you. Okay. Here you go. All right. Good. We still got it. We still got it, Nicole. All right. Well, this is actually an email that we got from a listener. So we do apologize to Owen about the immunity challenge. Honestly, I don't know. I think that it was, I'm not going to be hyperbolic like Steven. It was the worst challenge ever. Josh Wiggler, we'll talk to him in the Wiggle Room. I think he loved it. I mean.
Well, I think in fairness, I think it would be a good challenge. One of the better challenges for him to win.
For who?
Josh Wiggler.
For Josh Wiggler? Yeah. Why? You feel like Josh Wiggler goes and competes on the Dream Team with the press corps.
And I'm sure it's very challenging.
Yes. And he does very well, even though he almost threw up when he ran the first challenge from this season.
I bet every single one of those loved ones were like,
yeah, dodge the bullet.
That was easy.
Dodge the bullet. Yeah. Because believe me, my mom was not going to be like eating a bug like they did it in Thailand. My mom would have been fine with this competition.
She would have loved it.
This is an email from Emily who writes us to say, I'm a huge RHAP fan. Love Nicole and can't wait to her reflections on the family visit episode. Please tell me you're doing a black marble, white marble challenge. Well, Nicole.
Right now.
Well, I really want to thank Emily for the great email. And Nicole.
Okay, well, we got a game for you too.
All right, Nicole. Are you ready? Because we need to practice. Because everybody's always saying, Rob, you got to go back on Survivor. When are you going to go back on Survivor? You need to go out there. Third time's the charm. Can't wait to see it. And the thing that we can't wait for, we can't wait for Nicole to come out for the loved ones visit. And so, Nicole, that is why you and I need to practice the black marble, white marble challenge. Because as Jeff Probst said in the episode, with your loved ones, if you love the person enough,
you're connected.
You are connected enough that you can pick out the right color rock. And so,
and he's prepared.
Nicole, can you describe what I have here?
Looks like Robert has two buffs tied in a knot at the bottom, opening at the top, and he's jiggling it around, which appears to sound like marbles.
Well, it sounds like marbles, but I actually opened a package of Mentos.
I love Mentos.
Well, there are several natural Mentos in here. And then there are half Mentos that I have colored in with a black marker.
That's poison.
Okay.
Don't
eat them. So I have a bag of Mentos in a buff for you and a bag of Mentos in a buff for me.
So wait, were there two marbles? Were there a bunch of marbles?
I don't know. This is 3 and 3.
Okay.
This is 3 and 3. So there are 3 white Mentos in the buff.
I want the blue one.
Okay. And there are 3 Mentos that I've colored in with a magic marker.
Yes.
Okay. So, Nicole.
Someone has too much fun up here.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. I am going to don't look.
I'm not looking. I'm looking for the hole.
Okay, well.
That's what she said.
Easy, easy. Well, why did she say that? Okay. All right. So here is the moment you've all been waiting for. I have
in
my hand.
Do we pull it at the same time?
Yes. Okay, easy.
Pull out.
Yeah, easy, easy. Okay, relax. All right, so I have the Mento in my hand, and I have the
black center?
Black shaded Mento. Nicole, now, Will, would that think about your love for me? Think about how much you care about me,
mm-hmm.
how much you want to win this game. And let's test this.
Okay.
Okay. We need to practice this every day until I go back.
What if it's I'm in it and you're my loved one?
My hands are shaking.
No, they're not.
Okay.
All right, Ben.
Okay.
Chill out.
All right. Nicole, what is the Black Manta?
We're so connected.
Rob and Nicole are moving on.
Should we take a picture so this is legit?
Why would we lie about this?
Because that's what we do.
Why would we lie about this? Okay.
Can I have the ones that don't have the
I think that the proximity to the magic marker. I have other Mentos on my desk. So good job there, Nicole. We nailed it.
Yeah, as always.
Yes, this was not a bit that we will take pictures of the Mentos if anybody wants to see them. Would you put this in your Instagram story, picking Mentos?
Well, it's not live. I'd have to do it now.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, don't recreate it. We'll do that another time. Okay. Nicole, also, that this was a moment that, you know, you and I have always loved to talk about the Jeff Probst out of context, inappropriate moment. We actually had one in the challenge that a longtime listener, Randy Newpel, noticed and keyed me into.
Ben and his wife, Chrissy and her husband, let's get it on.
Whoa, hey, Jeff, come on.
Get the hose. There was like another episode where it was just like, does he hear himself?
Why? What are you talking about?
I don't remember what it was. Was it last week or the week before?
Yeah.
Where it was just like, every comment was inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
Yes.
No, I don't think he necessarily says things like he used to about like, oh, this person's balls, this pole.
He was talking about poles, and I believe
he's really a lot with the let's get it on. Like he's really making that his own.
You know, he's been away from his wife for a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of people being away from family members with the loved ones visit, let's just take one more question about this. This is from Sammy, who has a question about how Nicole would react on the loved one's visit.
Hey, Rob and Nicole, this is Sammy. Nicole, have you ever let Rob go out and play for a third time and came for the family visit and didn't get to see him because you didn't draw the right marble? On a scale of 0 to 10, how upset would you be?
And Nicole, how mad would you be? You came all the way out there to see me. You get there and you pick, unlike in real life, where we're able to will our love for each other to pick the right color Mento.
Yes.
That day, for whatever reason, you're having an off day and you're out of the competition. You don't get to see me.
I feel like I would cause a scene.
You would cause a scene.
Yes.
Like, what would it be like? No. No,
something like that. They'd say, "Okay, that's it. No hugs." And I don't think I would be able to follow the rules.
Yes. Now, you also said that you would follow in the lead of Sonny Bunny, and you would also hug Jeff Probst.
Yeah, I feel like I would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you would get mad.
Like, Nicole, come on, can you follow the rules? Nobody. Yeah.
So would it be inappropriate? Like, she gave him a hug and that was sweet. Like, what if I like lunged and jumped and like held on to him?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they would just like escort you away. Sorry, Rob. Your loved one's visit is canceled. You're canceled, Nicole. Do you have a restraining order against you?
Yeah, but I don't.
Trying to dossing it up out here.
I don't think I would handle it well being told I would just have to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think?
Ask Wyclef about that. If he was hosting the loved one's visit. Okay. Nicole, this is a question for you from one of our great callers. It is Brent the Shower Man.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. This is Brent the Shower Man. Nicole, I got a question for you. At the beginning of the episode, we saw Chrissy confront Ben, ultimately leading to him saying, "You can't mother me right now, Chrissy." What do you think about the mother stereotype on Survivor? And how do you think your experience as a mother would help shape the way that you play? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. This is something that you and I have not spoken about around the house. So I would love to get your take on this. And I guess the one we start with. What's your reaction to Chrissy this season?
I like Chrissy. I liked her from the very beginning. But when this went down, I kind of put myself in her shoes. And I felt like... Biff in Back to the Future, when you call him chicken,
mm-hmm.
like, call me chicken one more time. It's like, okay, call me mom one more time.
Okay. Well, actually, Biff did not mind.
Oh, no, that wasn't Biff. That was, what's
Marty.
Marty, I'm
Marty
sorry.
McFly.
Okay. Yes. Ruined my joke.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I ruined it.
I ruined it myself. Yeah. Okay. But you know what I was saying?
So wait, so what's the issue here? So you're saying that that Chrissy doesn't like being called a mom? Is that what you're saying?
I think in like that context where it's like an insult.
Yeah. Well, again, some would say it's an insult if you don't call a person a mom. Well, Baylor got upset when my friend Missy was called a girl by Reed. She said, she's not a girl. She's a mom.
I think it's the context.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the mom is triggering Nicole?
Well, he was using it in an insulting manner. He was using it to insult her and to like make her feel stupid.
Oh, because that's when he said, you're mothering me?
You're momming me.
You're momming me. And that something went off for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing, like, all right, when you're a mom, you tend to mother, mm-hmm. but that should never be used against you.
Yeah.
Like, stop momming me.
Because she was upset with him.
And she wasn't
momming.
She wasn't even momming at that point. Like, he was just trying to insult her.
Okay, so what about Chrissy as a player this season? Have you liked her?
I do like her. I think she's smart and her mind is always going. She's good. She's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. She's still here.
She's still here?
Yeah. And she, you know, she challenges Ben, which no one really seems to do.
Yeah, but she seemed to not want to ultimately turn on him in this episode.
Well, yeah, then there's that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like that was not the best idea for her?
I think
she seemed on the fence throughout most of the episode and siding against him. But then when push came to shove, she was one of the people who was saying to keep him. Be brave.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like she was initially like reacting emotionally. And I don't know. It's hard for me to tell what the big picture for her and her thinking is.
Okay. Well, let me play this question for you. This is from one of our listeners, Anthony. Anthony!
Hello, Rob and Nicole. This is Anthony calling, and I have a question for Nicole. Nicole, have you ever called Rob, Dominic, or Anthony a jerk? Secondly, if Rob ever plays Survivor again and he makes the family visit, will you hug Jeff Probst first, then hug Rob? Night night.
Yes, thank you, Anthony.
Night night.
Yeah. All right, Nicole. So we've touched on the family visit stuff.
Yes,
but,
yes, I would hug Jeff first.
Yes. Let me play you this clip about what Chrissy saying Ben is a jerk.
Oh my God, you're such a jerk, Ben.
Oh my gosh.
I seriously never
expected
this.
You can't mother me right now, Chrissy.
Why am I mothering you? I don't call my kids a jerk.
Yeah. So I don't call my kids a jerk.
To their face.
Yes. So, Nicole, have you called your kids a jerk?
Not to their face.
Not to their face. You definitely have. You definitely
have. Not to their face.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll walk around and be like, oh, these freaking jerks.
Yeah. Yeah. So you haven't like really got into the, like, you're a little jerk.
I would never say that to their faces. I will turn
Look what
around.
You did, you little jerk.
And mumble obscenities when they're not listening.
Yeah, but you've definitely called me a jerk.
And
on the regular.
And that's fine.
Yes. And you aren't even sorry.
Because I'm not momming you.
Yeah. No. And Nicole definitely does not mom me in any way.
Because I'm not your mom.
She's not my mom.
Yeah.
Right. She's a girl. She's not my mom. Yeah. But she does call me a jerk. So I don't know where that leads
us. And that's
us.
A good day.
Yeah. Okay. Nicole, let's take a question. This is from Podrick Racer, longtime friend of the show. Here is Podrick.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. My lesion is lady. So it looks like we're not going to have a repeat of advantage get in this season. Do you think Survivor has gotten the right balance between number of advantages and hidden immunity idols? Also, do you think there are going to be any more advantages and hidden immunity idols in the last couple episodes? Thanks.
Nicole, last season, of course, there was Advantage Geddon, which ended up taking out Suri as we got to the final six. We're approaching the final six here this season. We have actually no advantages in the game. Probably an idol will be hidden in next week's episode. Do you feel like Survivor has corrected the issues that came up during Survivor Game Changers?
It's seemingly. I like the advantages. I think it makes it fun.
You feel like there's not enough advantages. No, you don't.
I like what's going on now.
Yes. Well, I will say that I do think that Survivor has gotten a little lucky this season. I do think that they had some really good ideas with the advantages in the pre-merge. And the idea being that, okay, this has to be used at this tribal council.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an advantage that has to be done at the next vote. And that was all good in the pre-merge. But then in the post-merge game, we really did end up getting lucky in this past episode in that we had three idols advantages taken out of the game in one fell swoop, so we don't have to worry about all three of those things making it into the final five vote and potentially anything else that could be there. So I think you like to have sort of the prospect of these things out there, but I think that you don't want them all being played at the same tribal council. This ended up where, yes, Ben's idol was played, and then two advantages were wasted at this tribal council. And I think that that ends up being sort of a, you know, a good thing in terms of where if, you know, every advantage comes out at one tribal council, I'm not sure that's necessarily the best case scenario.
No, it seems like the worst case scenario.
I mean, it's exciting. Don't get me wrong. But
then it gets confusing.
It gets confusing. But you were just saying that you like all the advantages.
I do, but I like
Make
how
up
it's,
your mind. You're confusing
paste.
Me.
It's paste.
Paste.
Yes, paste advantages.
Okay, paste advantages. That's P-A-C-E-D?
Yeah, not P-A-S-T.
Yeah, what would a paste advantage look like?
Or is it's that, like glued to
that's
the
to
walls
make the hidden immunity idol?
Yeah.
Paste advantage? Okay. Let me play another question for you, Nicole. This is from Manuel.
Hi, Rob. This is Manuel from Hayward, California. You had Bryce Isaiah on the podcast last week, and he lovingly referred to Lauren as Dwada. And then this week, Lauren goes home. I know that he's also referred to Suri as mother, and I'm not sure if he's had other endearing terms for past contestants. But, of course, Suri didn't win the game either. So, Rob, I have a question. I'm wondering, is it time to consider whether there's a purple pants badass curse? Would love to get your thoughts.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a good point.
No. Yes, as many listeners of the podcast know, last week that Bryce coined Lauren his...
Dora!
Yeah. And then also, I believe that I'm not sure if he was on right after Suri got voted off or right before Suri got voted off in Survivor Game Changers. But obviously that he called her mother. And I think that the Bryce curse may actually be a thing, Nicole, because
I can see that.
Of course, Bryce always names the freakiest freak of the season. And get this, Nicole, I do not believe that the freakiest freak has ever won the game of Survivor. How about that?
No way.
Man.
Yeah. You don't want to be the freakiest freak.
I'm a freak.
So, Nicole, how about that?
This song never gets old.
Never gets old. You like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the freakiest freak has never won the game. Now, this season's freakiest freak was Devin, Nicole. That Devin does have a chance to break the freakiest freak curse.
Yes, and he also has the Boston Rob facial hair thing going on.
Yeah, Nicole is very concerned about Devin's facial hair.
I just think it's so crazy how some people can just grow hair, facial hair perfectly.
Yeah, well, that some people just, I guess, I don't know if it's just like you have to have so much testosterone to be able to grow
to grow
beard.
To grow this manly beard.
So I don't know. I don't know what goes on there, Nicole.
Yeah.
I can't speak to it. You're the scientist here. You're the medical expert in the house.
I don't do dermatology.
Yes. Okay. That's dermatology?
Well, it's on facial stuff, you know.
Facial stuff?
Like facial hair.
Okay. All right. Speaking of macho guys, let's play a question for you. This is from Allison.
Hey, Nicole. Inquiring minds would like to know, do you think Rob can pull off a cowboy hat?
Okay. Nicole, we've seen this season Ben wear the cowboy hat. We've seen Devin try it on. This past week down in Austin, Texas, Brett LaBelle came down with a cowboy hat, which I got to try on.
Yes, so, and there are pictures.
Many of the listeners want to know whether or not that I can pull this look off.
Well, first of all, I would like to know how drunk you were when those photos were taken.
Not very drunk.
You looked kind of wasted.
No, that's just because I was wearing a giant hat.
Oh, that's what it was?
Yes.
You had your drunk face.
I don't know what to tell you. I have 300 eyewitnesses that can, you know, testify.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think you were able to pull it off.
Yes.
But I wouldn't want you to do it every day.
Yeah. Speaking of cowboy hats, did you happen to catch any of Colby Donaldson on the podcast?
I was actually listening to the show a little while ago, and I don't think I got... I know I didn't get up to the Colby part yet.
Yes. That's, again, me and Colby are good friends now.
Are like the same
now.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe between... And Tyson wears a cowboy hat, so I'm friends with all these guys with cowboy hats now.
I don't think I could be married to you if you wear a cowboy hat.
Why not?
Some women dig cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I like the podcasters.
Podcasters. Well, there's no...
I like the headphones.
There's no hat that's really associated with podcasting.
No, but it's headphones.
Yeah, it's headphones. You want to walk around with headphones?
Yes.
I don't think that's good for your ears to wear headphones too much. I'm probably wearing
them. Well, are you
them...
blasting music in them?
No, but I think even just having them on, I think that's probably... it's not great.
You're thinking too much into it.
I'm thinking too much about it. Look, I read up on this stuff, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about a couple of the other players that we haven't touched on too much.
Please
it's do. Been really a long time since we talked about Ryan, Nicole. Do you have any thoughts on Ryan Ulrich this season?
I'm a little concerned for his physical well-being.
Why?
Because it looks like he's going to break.
Yes, you're concerned.
like physically, like he's just going to like...
Snap.
He's going to snap in half.
Yeah.
He seriously must weigh like 70 pounds.
Yeah. So you think that he may not make it to day 39?
I think he's actually like he's seemingly holding up well,
mm-hmm.
but he just looks like he is very fragile.
What about his game?
Well, I think that Devin took it a little too seriously with that whole idol thing.
Mm hmm.
That he told Ben about the idol, and that kind of like ruined his game.
Yeah, I did think that Devin was kind of a baby about that.
Yeah. And then, like because of that, I feel like really changed Ryan's game a bit.
Yeah, it's unclear how Ryan perceived Devin in terms of what did Ryan want to go to the end with Devin? And then because Devin was like, oh, no, he's telling everybody about the idol. Now I can't trust him anymore. Like, I felt like that was a bridge that could have been repaired.
I felt like that, too. But then it's broken.
No, once you cross Devin, that's it. You're dead to him.
Yeah, which I didn't see coming.
You can't come back. Yeah, because he seems like he'd be like really easygoing.
Like, oh, you're sorry, bro. Okay, cool. Let's hug it out.
Nicole, what about Dr. Mike? Because that longtime listeners know that one of your favorite topics of conversation has always been male genitalia. And now we finally have the Survivor contestant
to talk about male genitalia.
Yes, who likes to discuss it as much as you do.
He doesn't talk about it enough.
Not enough. Do you follow Mike on Twitter?
I don't, but I do on Instagram.
Yes.
And I was hoping for some pics.
No. Okay. Yes. So what has been your reaction to Dr. Mike throughout the season?
I feel like he's getting a strange edit.
Yeah. In what way?
And it's kind of hard to follow what he's doing sometimes. I don't know if it's just me. I'm easily confused.
Well, I don't think that there's been a roadmap, really, of what Dr. Mike is up to in this game, because he has made some curious decisions. And I love the guy.
Yeah.
And he's been such a fun character
on the show. A coconut.
Yes. And we see, like, from Dr. Mike, like, in confessional, like, it's a lot of, like... these other players, they have no idea what I'm doing. They're all a bunch of idiots, that they're dumb. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not sure what Mike is doing. He's very quick to tell us that everybody else is doing it wrong. That he's talking about the Survivor gods a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't follow his compass.
But you know what? He's still there.
Yeah. And so it would be very fun, I think, to see him get to the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope that happens.
And I do feel like that he would sort of be one of these people that like pounds the table and talks about how, you know, that he had this plan the whole way through. And I really do think that at the end, when you get there, if you can just sound convincing enough, it doesn't have to necessarily make sense. But if you can say, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and really just be like very proud. Like,
just own that.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
And I really do feel like that these people like him. I thought it was very fun when his wife came out, Barry, and then Lauren had this to say.
This is Barry.
Oh, we've heard so much about you.
God bless you is all I have to say.
Oh, people have said that to me.
God bless you for being married to me?
Yes.
How dare they?
Your family members.
Okay. All right. Nicole, this is a question that is from Vic from Houston. He wants to know about a potential blood versus water season.
Rob, here's a question from Vic. Let's find a way to get back both Colby Donaldson and Lauren Rimmer. I got two all-star seasons for you. Which would you rather see? Schemers versus straight shooters, cast it as you like, or Survivor siblings, a blood versus water that includes both Sonny Bunny and Reed Donaldson. Thanks for taking the call.
Damn it, Reed. Colby seems so surprised that I knew that damn it, Reed line from Survivor Heroes versus Villains when I said it. Like, he was just like, man, you loser. I can't believe that you know that. I'm like, Colby, I think most of the people here actually know that, but I think that he just thought.
Did he call you a loser?
No, he didn't. But yeah, I think in his mind.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that you're projecting.
He was just like blown away. He's like, I don't know how you remember any of this stuff. Because it was like, he did not even remember most of the stuff that happened to him on Survivor. But
that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. No, Colby was great. And I got some, feedback from people in different places like, oh, Colby went on too long. Like, the people in the room were eating it up.
Yeah.
I'm reading the room at that point. People were pumped up to hear from Colby.
I did hear from the people that were there that they were just like in awe when Colby was up there.
Yeah. When's the next time you're going to hear Colby Donaldson talk about Survivor? People.
Never again.
All right. So who knows? Who knows? And so when you get somebody who's a Survivor legend on the panel.
Survivor God.
You let them go. I mean, Survivor, let's not get too carried away. But look, you let that guy go.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm glad that we were able to get that into the show, Nicole. So let me give you a question. This is one more. This is from Felipe.
Hey, Robin, Nicole. This is Felipe. And I just wanted to know who's better at hiding. Tippy the Elf or JP on this season? Thanks. Have a nice day. Bye.
Nicole. So let me ask you a real question. So do you feel like with all of your work of hiding the Elf on the Shelf, do you want to just quickly explain what Elf on the Shelf is for people who may not know what that is?
Elf on the Shelf serves two purposes. It's basically this elf that comes out during the Christmas season and watches your children and basically bribes them into being good and to listen to their parents, because at night it goes back to Santa and reports back.
Yes.
And as when the kids go to sleep, that's when the parents have some fun and they put the elf in different compromising positions throughout the house.
Hold on. No. That's what you do. That's not what the instructions are.
It was code.
Code. So Nicole has been, you know, every day continuing to track her progress on Instagram in terms of where the elf on the shelf gets moved to. And then on the days that she's awake before a certain time, she will record the boy's reaction to this. So, Nicole, I want to know from you now, do you feel like that your experience of hiding the elf would, if you were to ever play in a Survivor season, do you feel like that you would be good at finding the idol based on that you are able to find hiding spots for Tippy the Elf?
Well, Tippy the Elf, I wouldn't really consider him hiding. I just find amusing positions to put him in.
Yes.
Well, so if an idol is doing something to a stuffed animal, I would find that.
Okay. Nicole, I know you recently had a dream that you were out playing on Survivor.
I did.
Yes.
So I had a dream that I was asked to go on Survivor, not Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Lynn Spillman called you.
I don't know if it was Lynn. It was somebody
called. Somebody from casting called you and said, Nicole, is it don't tell Rob? What is it?
No, it was okay. Just they wanted me to go on the show and I really didn't want to do it.
Right.
But I did.
Yes. So what did you, like, where did did you actually get to the island in your dream?
I did. And I was just like, I don't know why I'm here. Like, I'm really bad at this. Why am I here?
I would enjoy it. I really would.
No, I know. And then, like, it was a little unclear. And, you know, like, as time, like, passes, like, you kind of forget, like, the details of your dream. But I just remember when I was doing my exit interviews.
What? This is a long dream.
It was a long dream.
You got cast, you went to go play, and then you were doing exit press all in one dream?
Do you ever have the dream that kind of continues on?
Mm-hmm.
It was very elaborate.
Yes. Okay. So you're doing the exit interview. And then so were you in the studio when I was doing the exit interview with you?
No, it was at the bottom of the stairs on the phone.
Okay.
Calling in.
You were calling in?
Yes.
All right. I guess I wouldn't get special treatment over, I guess, Dalton Ross.
I guess that would make much more sense. But in my dream, I was at the bottom of the stairs, but the door was closed.
All right. Well, here, let's do the exit interview right now. All right. We have Nicole on the line. Nicole, are you there?
Hi, Rob.
Nicole, we are so disappointed to see you. Ultimately, I was counting on that money, frankly.
But come on, you did not see this coming.
All right, Nicole, well, let's get into everything from the show. First one out. I know that's always a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, but I mean, really, I shouldn't have been there.
Now, interestingly enough, you found the hidden immunity idol on day one, which would have put you in a good spot. You decided at the tribal council to have the hidden immunity idol hump one of the torches, and then you dropped it into the fire at tribal council.
Yeah, it's weird because that worked one time in my Instagram stories.
Yeah. Now, you also commented on a number of the different players on your tribe's bulges. Do you feel like in hindsight that that was a good idea or that made your other tribe members feel uncomfortable?
No, it was kind of my voting strategy. It was to vote based on the bulge.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you didn't get to see that come into play.
Now, we saw during the episode a number of times your tribe mates were openly conspiring about you while you were sleeping in the shelter the entire time. Did you ever consider getting up to go and talk to the different people that were talking about you?
You know, hindsight's 2020. Maybe it would have been a good idea to not sleep so much. But on the other hand, I do so much better when I am asleep, when I get rest. So, you know, it was a lose-lose.
We saw you get into a screaming match with Jeff Probst at the Tribal Council, which we've never seen before on Survivor.
You know, sometimes during the challenges, he is so annoying with his commentary. And that's really, you know, it just grades on you.
You also were the first player removed from the game for actually striking someone. You didn't actually even get voted out of the game. You physically assaulted a player at Tribal Council.
Because he told me I was momming him.
All right, well,
I warned him. I said, call me mom one more time.
Well, Nicole, I'm sorry. I know you have a lot of interviews to get to today, but thank you so much for coming on with us. Looking forward to seeing you at the finale.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at dinner.
Okay. All right. Everybody, there you have it. Nicole Cesternino, first player voted out of Survivor Spouses. All right. So maybe it doesn't go so great.
No.
All right. Well, what would it be? Just like all loved ones.
I would not want to be on a season with all loved ones.
Yeah, I think it would actually be good. I actually think that Survivor Loved Ones is a good idea for a season because you would sort of like have people, they would know the game pretty well. There might be a lot of pregame alliances going on, but I think you would have people that are sort of like come in and like really think that they know what's going on. Like the Pauly Calafiores of the world, where that they like, yes. My brother Cody played the game. He knows everything, and I know what to do because I watch my brother Cody and Derek play. And so they come in like really arrogant about that they know everything about the game, but they're all still first-time players.
Yeah. Do you think I would do that?
No, I don't think that you... You definitely don't come into any situation being like, I know everything.
Yeah.
So
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I am Jon Snow.
Yes. So we'll see how that would go. All right. So we're going to get to everything from the social media, but let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. And those are friends over at Blue Apron. And Nicole, I saved this Blue Apron
for when
we're going to be here.
Yes.
Speaking of places that you don't know everything, the kitchen, one of those places.
How dare you?
But let me say this. The Blue Apron, of course, that they are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And for Nicole, who admittedly not the greatest cook that ever lived.
Never said that.
That Blue Apron, not only do they give us instructions on meals that even you can knock out of the park, I feel like that using the Blue Apron recipes and the illustrations that they send, I feel like that your cooking is improved even when we're not having Blue Apron.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is very true. I have learned how to blend spices.
Yes. Yeah. They have easy to follow instructions that will have you feeling like a chef, even if you are naturally not one. And you have many other talents.
Such as?
There's too many to list. Some of them I can't even talk about here on a family podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. But of course, Blue Apron is convenient. They deliver fresh pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. Perfect for people with a family because you don't have all day to prepare a meal.
No.
Blue Apron is flexible, offering 12 new recipes each week and high quality. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones.
Which I really like.
The last Blue Apron that we had, miso and soy steak. Fantastic.
That was really delicious. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I couldn't believe the size of the steak they sent us.
Yeah, it was so good.
This month on Blue Apron, check out sheet pan roasted pork, creamy tomato pasta with mushroom and collard greens, chile butter steaks with lemon, parmesan, broccoli, and potatoes. Blue Apron's got a great offer for our listeners. Blue Apron is treating Robin's podcast listeners to their first dinner, a $30 value. If you visit blueapron.com/Rob, check out this week's menu and get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Perfect for the holiday season.
All right, Nicole, let's talk about the week in Survivor social media. Let me just start off by saying, so I had a very interesting week in Survivor social media because I got a very interesting email. Now, of course, we like to play often on Rob's podcast, the Rupert Tweets game, but Rupert Boneham has not tweeted since October 5th of this year, which was, I believe, the second week of Survivor. He tweeted the first 2 weeks. He live tweeted the show. Rupert has not been on Twitter since October 5th.
Has anyone gone to check on him?
Okay, well, this is exactly what I'm talking about, because I got a message from, speaking of Survivor spouses that have gone on to play the game.
Yes.
The great Laura Boneham.
Yes.
Who once upon a time was just a loved one who
just
came
a spouse.
Out, just a survivor's spouse who was not even a player in the game, came out to visit Rupert in Survivor All-Stars, and then went on to, did she do a family visit? I think then she was also back in Heroes vs. Villains for a family visit. And then she went on to play in Survivor Blood vs. Water, a great player, of course, in that game. And so I got a message from Laura Boneham.
Uh-oh.
And Laura Boneham wrote to me to say, Rob, please help.
Uh-oh.
Rupert is locked out of his Twitter account. He can't get in. He doesn't know the password. And we need you to tell everybody on Twitter, to tell Twitter that Rupert is the real Rupert, and to give him his password and let him back on.
This seems like quite an extravagant plan.
And so my initial thought was, I'm getting catfished. But sure enough, the real Laura Boneham. And I said, okay, well,
where he couldn't send you this email?
Well, maybe he's locked out of Facebook, too.
Well, then he's a lot of other problems.
Okay. So I said, okay, well, I have to take it upon myself because I do, you know, just like I will write a apology letter for Survivor to send to somebody, to send to Owen, who is upset about something. I said, okay, well, now this is my duty. I've taken on this, this undertaking of being this ambassador of goodwill.
Because you are for
the Survivor
people.
Community. I said, well, I guess this is, I have to go do this. So I took to Twitter the other day. And on December 6th, I tweeted, hey, Twitter, at Rupert Boneham, need some help. Laura B. messaged me to say that Rupert is locked out of at Twitter. She wanted people who would vouch for him to at Twitter support so he can be back from being an outcast of Twitter. We need him back now more than ever. And a big response, 29 retweets, people tweeting to at Twitter support, at Jack. We need to get Rupert back in.
Did it work?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Please don't make us fail at this.
So Rupert is still not back on Twitter. I messaged Laura B. and said, look, I put the word out there. The response is great. But still, to this point, no mention. So if anybody can pull any strings.
This is a sad story.
I lost my damn password.
Oh, boy.
Yes. I believe, actually, Sean Cohen, Jebediah Kovad, had been using Rupert's Twitter account. He was the one that lost the password. Rupert is now combing everywhere to find it.
I hope he finds it.
We hope he finds it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that before too long, we can get Rupert back on Twitter and maybe even verified.
One thing at a time.
Yeah. I mean, that 80% of the survivors are verified at this point. Rupert is not yet.
80% of the population on Twitter is verified.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get Rupert back on Twitter and verified before too long. All right. So let's get into some of the tweets from this week. Penner wrote in. He's been following the show closely. Survivor Penner, not a fan of the Loved Ones Challenge.
Yeah, I could see that.
He doesn't like it.
Yeah.
He said, Survivor Loved Ones Challenge blows. The worst. Why does Penner hate the Loved Ones Challenge?
He's a tough critic.
Has Penner gotten to a Loved Ones Challenge? I think that that's maybe why. I believe that Penner, that he got to seventh place twice.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe Penner's lovely wife, Stacey, has been sort of like left to the altar at the loved one's visit a couple times.
That is such a bummer.
Yeah.
That's such a bummer.
I have to go back. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that that he has gotten so close to the loved one's visit a couple times. I don't know if he's ever made it to the loved one's visit.
Or maybe he just genuinely didn't like the challenge.
Maybe I thought that challenge was a real loser.
I mean, come on, like when you were
that
getting...
That challenge was bollocks.
When you
my
were getting
ass.
The instructions for the challenge, and weren't you like, wait, that's it?
Yeah.
Huh.
That was it. I'd rather get a bag of Mentos. I'll color them in.
Stupid. Stupid idiot.
I'm a stupid idiot?
I'm just a callback to you in the 5 for 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then this is a tweet from Andrea, who's he's sneaky funny on Twitter. Andrea, the great Andrea Belke, said, I want to be like, wow, good work, Lauren. But also, she literally just picked up a shell, so I don't know. Yeah. That wasn't as exciting, the go into the challenge.
She
and
really
find
just
something.
Hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. It's like, well, that was cool.
Not really.
But she just like sat down and tied her shoe and picked up a shell.
And put it on her knee.
Yeah. Hannah, who we had so much fun with Hannah here at the house the other day.
Who also told me I was momming her.
Yes. Okay. That she.
But she was right.
Yes. You were packing her up snacks to have in traffic.
I didn't want her to have low glucose.
Okay. At Hannah Lil Nessin said, whenever I hide in the bushes spying on my neighbor's conversations, folks just call me creepy, but whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ben was hiding on people.
Yeah.
That wasn't creepy.
It wasn't a spy shack.
It wasn't a spy shack. You want to hear another Penner tweet from the other day?
Do I ever?
He said, hashtag survivor tribal. These folks are insane. Burning idols, tearing stuff up. Also, does tribal take place at a deserted train station? Nobody can segue mid-tweet like Penner.
Yeah.
He's great.
His tweets are pretty good.
He does two things at once. Eric Reichenbach was very happy with this week's episode of Survivor. He tweeted, yes,
idols
suck. Immunity is overrated. Burn that thing and send it back to hell. Hashtag burn an idol today. At Mike Zahalski. Hashtag Survivor.
I thought he was going to be happy for the fake idol.
No, he was happy that the idols were getting burned.
Yeah.
He liked that.
Oh, I get it. He gave away the idol.
Yes. I don't think we could top that, Nicole.
Yeah, that's it.
Eric Reichenbach, very happy about the idols being burnt. So, Nicole, we've covered it all today. Everything from this episode, me wearing a cowboy hat, apologies, you playing Survivor.
It's perfect way to end it.
Perfect way to end it. Nicole, who's going to win the season?
I think it's between Ben, Chrissy, and...
But don't say half. There's six people left. Oh,
can
be three.
Can I talk?
Okay.
Podcast host.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't say it with like such disdain. You're a podcast host, too.
I am not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to answer the question anymore.
Oh, well, don't cop out. Well, who's going to win the season?
I'm going to say... I wanted to say Ben, but I don't think he's going to win because I don't think that his social game is very good right now.
Okay. So
I would like him to win, though.
Who are you going to say?
I don't know.
Okay.
I like Chrissy, but I don't think she's going to make it. And I don't know. Devin is looking pretty good. Take that however you want.
Okay. Well, I know how I want to take it. So Devin is your winner pick now?
I'm going to say Devin.
Okay. Nicole, is this a good season?
It's a crazy season.
Crazy season.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're pro Survivor HHH.
I know a lot of people are complaining about it, but I feel like it's fun to watch.
I mean, still, I see people on Twitter like talking about how much the season sucks. I don't know what people are looking for.
I think people have too high expectations. They love the show so much and they have these great expectations of it. And what is the key to life?
Low expectations.
That's right.
I go into everything with low expectations. I go into every season. Like, this is probably going to be the worst season ever.
He goes into every day saying this is going to be the worst day ever.
I go into every day and every experience so that this is going to be terrible. And then, it's not that bad. And only when I sort of like get my hopes up.
Yeah.
That's only, when I get depressed.
Yep. Key to life, people.
The key to life.
There you have it.
I forget sometimes, but I just always think that, everything has to, this will probably be terrible. And then, I end up coming out the other side feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So with any luck, you know, we'll go into this. Should be a terrible finish to the season, and then we will have low expectations.
Pleasantly surprised.
But I have high expectations for this week coming up on the podcast, Nicole. Of course, we are going to get back into the know-it-alls with Stephen Fishback this Wednesday. Of course, the Survivor Wiggle Room is coming up as well on Monday, mm-hmm. where we will get back into the wand off. Nicole is one of the wand off haters.
I am not a hater. I just don't have the enthusiasm as many of the contestants.
Yes.
Or shame.
Yes. we've got a lot of great wand up entries already coming up for the Wiggle Room this Monday. I'm sure we will talk about why Josh loved the reward challenge this week and much more coming up on the Wiggle Room. We have our know-it-alls with Steven. Next exit interview will be on the way as we head down to the finale with the final five. Jeremy Collins will be back on the podcast this week. Very excited about that.
He's fantastic.
Jeremy Collins White. Jeremy Collins, also one of the survivors that you would say you're friends with.
And I picked him as my winner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right.
I feel like I have this deep connection with Jeremy.
Yes. Okay. And then on the voicemails, the great Mike Bloom. More Bloom for your buck. As they say, pro flowers.
I was going to say something else, but I can't say it.
Well, I don't want to know what you were going to say about Mike Bloom or your buck. So, yeah.
Or just big stems.
Okay. There you go. So, I don't want to, please, leave Man Whore Mike Bloom out of this. So, we've got all that. Nicole, what's the hashtag?
Oh, what was it? Paste Advantage?
Yeah, Paste Advantage. Okay. That's PACED Advantage.
Or Paste.
Or PASTE. Well, tell people one or the other.
Paste.
Okay, which is?
PACE.
Okay, Pace Advantage.
Or something else that's clever.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm just trying, is it Pace or Paced? Like, is there a D on the end or
you
no?
You know, I forgot what the conversation even was.
You said you like the Paced Advantages of the season.
Oh, Paced, yes. PACED.
Okay. Don't get mad at me because you don't remember what we were talking about.
You know, everybody needs a punching bag.
Who's you're my punching bag?
You're mine.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
Yes.
Right, right. And, you know, I have to say that, can I talk about how Anthony has, like, inherently captured that, you know, I have two sons. And
they couldn't be more different.
I've learned about human nature having two sons because I would see bad kids in the past and I said, oh, they must have grown up and they learned those behaviors and they were raised to be jerks, to, you know, use Chrissy's words. And, you know, I have two sons raised in the same house the same way. And this morning that I saw my younger son get mad at his brother and just go immediately into, you know, a closed fist punch to the face of my older son, who would never do that in a million years.
I have seen Dominic get trampled on by other kids, and he just looks at me and goes, like, Mom, that sucks, and never raises a hand. I've also seen kids come up to Dominic, the older one, and hit Dominic in the face, like two kids at a time.
Yeah.
And little brother Anthony walks over to them, puts his pointer finger in their face, then open hand slaps them across the face for hitting his brother.
Yeah. This morning that I just saw him. He took a toy from Dominic. Dominic got mad and took it back from him. And then he just like Tyson punched to the face. And I'm not talking about the guy from Utah.
Oh, yes. Such a problem.
So this is totally that. Yes. That needing a punching bag is in your DNA.
Genetics is a funny thing.
It is. It is. All right. Nicole can be heard every week on the Patron 5 for 5, the VP of Patron Relations. For any patron who is unaware of this and having any sort of an issue, feel free to reach out to Nicole. That she's been doing a great job of helping me out with any sort of customer service that comes up.
Patron relation.
With any patron relations that comes up. So thank you again. Job well done with that.
I take it very seriously.
She does. Yeah, I've been very impressed.
Yes, well, so, you should be.
Outstanding work. What else is coming on? Anything you want to plug? Nicole is going to be doing several mom's group functions the rest of this month.
I have mom's holiday
catch
dinner.
Nicole at holiday parties around the valley.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else going on, Nicole?
My new Twitter handle.
Oh, Nicole, at Nicole Says What?
Yes.
You plugged your Instagram. What is it? At Nicole Sesternino?
Yes.
Okay. Let's check out that. And then
the only way to see Tippy the Elf is to follow me on Instagram.
All right. Well, I want to up my Instagram game.
I got
to
train you.
You've been inspiring me.
I have to train you, young Jedi.
All right. So.
Old Jedi.
Yes. That being said, Nicole, great job here on the voicemails. We got a lot to do. Still, plenty of podcasts going on post-show recaps as well. Check that out at postshowrecaps.com, including Taryn Armstrong and I are going to be touching on the first couple episodes of The Crown Season 2 coming up this week. So be on the lookout for that. Plus, much more Walking Dead mid-season finale with Jessica Lease, Mr. Robot finale as well coming up on post-show recaps. So it's all there. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye, guys.